All right, well, we are in Proverbs this morning, Proverbs chapter 4, if you would return there. And this morning I want to talk to you about drums. You've heard it said that kids say the darndest things. Actually, it's dads. That's where kids get it from. Dads say the darndest things, like, don't ever let me catch you doing that again. If you keep making that face, it'll get stuck that way. Shut the door. Are we trying to heat the whole world? I knew a guy who got his head shot off and never said a word. Stop complaining. Here's a list of some of the more common phrases kids hear dads say about moms. Ask your mother. Don't tell your mother. Don't talk back to your mother. Your mother's right even when she's wrong. About money. Money doesn't grow on trees, you know. What do you think? I'm made of money? The best way to double your money is fold it in half and stick it back in your pocket. Waste not, want not. Now, don't go spending a lot on me. About work, a little work never hurt anybody. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Measure once, cut twice. Measure twice, cut once. About the good old days, they don't make them like they used to. When I was your age, we were grateful to have an orange for Christmas. We ate it, and we were happy, thankful to get it, yeah. About manners, don't talk back to your mother. Close the door. Were you raised in a barn? Pick up your feet. Put your feet down. You will sit there and be still. Hay is for horses. About discipline, I'm not going to tell you again. Don't make me turn this car around. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. Fair. Fair's where you take cows and hogs and get blue ribbons. As long as your feet are under my table, you'll live by my rules. Because I said so, that's why. I'm not yelling, I'm helping you hear. About friends, if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you? You're not going out in that. If you drive up to this house and honk the horn, you better be delivering a pizza because you sure ain't taking out my daughter. About life in general, righty, tighty, lefty, loosey. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep your eye on the ball. Two wrongs don't make a right. The city of happiness is in the state of mind. You'll understand when you're older. About marriage, you'll understand when you're older. Elope, it's cheaper. Two can live. How does it go? Two can live as cheap as one, only half as long. Yeah. Dadisms, right? You've heard them all. They stick. Why? Because you heard them so many times. That's really the irony of fatherhood. Even though we say, don't make me tell you again, we're going to tell you again. And again, and again. Repetition is the key to learning. The key to learning is repetition. In other words, all dads are drummers. All dads are drummers. It's just a matter of which drums we beat. Wise dads beat the drums of Scripture, the wisdom that comes from God's Word, particularly that of wisdom literature like Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 is a classic example. This is the lecture. You ever get the lecture? That's the other thing dads do. They lecture. Every talk turns into a lecture. Why does your dad do that? Because that's what his dad did. Verse 3, when I was a son to my father, Then he sat me down and said, "Now listen, son." That's how it is. That's what dads do. And so this is a classic example of the instruction of a father. And it comes off as a lecture, but underneath there are some discernible drums beating. Three of them. See if they sound familiar to you. Dads, hopefully this is what your kids are hearing, and hopefully this is what they will remember. Number one, be wise. In the first lecture, verses 1 through 9, that's the drum beating. Be wise, be wise, be wise. And where does that start? Verse 1, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. It starts with hearing. It starts with listening, receiving instruction from your father. Why? What's his hope for you? Verse 5, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace and present you with a crown of beauty. Kids can easily get the wrong idea, I think, about dad's instruction. You just don't want me to have any fun. You just don't like me. Nothing I do is ever good enough. You don't trust me. You just want to control my whole life. No. We want you to be wise. We want for you the quality of life that wisdom brings. We want to protect you from all the foolish things that we have done and having to live with the consequences of that. So in all you're acquiring, get wisdom, get understanding, prize her, pursue the wisdom of God that comes from His Word. Keep your eye on the ball, and that's the ball, wisdom. Get that. Why is that so important? Why is that so valuable? Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Verse 9, then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. Verse 11, discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. To do what? Verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. And verse 16, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. There's two kinds of people that can get you in trouble out there. Men and women. And your father is trying to protect you from them. Wisdom will guide you. Wisdom will protect you. Wisdom will deliver you. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She's more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. That's all dad wants, is for you to be happy. And happy are all who hold her fast. And so he says, prize her, chapter 4, verse 8. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She'll honor you if you will embrace her. In verse 7, acquire wisdom. Make that the priority. To get understanding. Make that the priority and the pursuit, not money, not popularity. Wisdom. And so he's saying, when I was your age, that's what the old man told me. So I'm just telling you. Don't roll your eyes. Be wise. The second lecture comes in verse 10. And the drum beating there in verses 10 through 19 is, keep good company. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've directed you in the way of wisdom, and I've led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, they'll not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they're robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know over what they stumble. That's a common theme in Proverbs, isn't it? The contrast there of those two ways. The way of the wicked, the path of the righteous. Which one are you on? He says, I've directed you in the way of wisdom. Verse 11, I've led you in upright paths. Stay on that path. Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Stay away from that. Avoid it. Pass by it. This is every good father's message, isn't it? Keep away from evil and do good. How do you do that? Stay away from the wrong crowd is a huge part of it. And that's why they pepper you with questions when you go out, right? Where are you going? Who are you going to be with? Who's going to be there? Who's invited? Whose parents are going to be there? Why do they do that? Are they just being nosy? No, they know who's out there. They know that stupid people are out there. You say, well, I'm not stupid. No, but they're out there. So this is a huge aspect of wisdom, isn't it? It's a huge component of gaining wisdom. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise. And the companion of fools will suffer harm. It does matter who you hang around with. And so you have this theme all the way through Proverbs. It starts in chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, don't. Chapter 2, verse 20. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will live in the land, but the wicked will be cut off. You have to be selective. You have to be picky. And not think that you can be friends with everyone. Proverbs 18:24, a man of too many friends comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Better to have one really true, good, loyal, godly friend than to be ruined because you want to be popular and liked by everyone. And how do you know when you have that really good friend? Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. And so you have these warnings, Proverbs 22, 24, do not associate with a man given to anger or go with a hot-tempered man, lest you learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Proverbs 24, 1, do not be envious of evil men or to desire to be with them, for their minds devise violence and their lips talk of trouble. Proverbs 24, 21, my son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that comes from both of them. And so we say, keep good company, right? Be careful who you hang around with. Be careful where you go, and stay away from the wrong crowd, and choose your companions carefully. Make good friends. I found a thing John Piper had written, commenting on after his father died, which was in 07, March of 07. But he was going through some of his old papers, and he found one called Things I Have Learned. Notice how many of them have to do with character and your companions and their character. His dad had written down on a piece of paper, the right road always leads to the right place. Get on the right road and go as far as you can on it. There's only one thing to do about anything. That is the right thing. Do right. Happiness is not found by looking for it. You stumble over happiness on the road to duty, obedience. The door to success swings on the hinges of opposition. Expect opposition. He says, God in the right place in my life fixes every other relationship of life. It is never right to get the right thing in the wrong way, like good grades, wealth, power, position. Don't sacrifice your principles. It is wrong to be yoked to one who refuses the yoke of Christ. You can't be yoked to Christ and to someone who isn't. He says the part of your character that is deficient is the part that needs attention. Anything you do that hinders your progress for God is wrong. Beware of any society in which you feel compelled to put a bushel over your testimony. It isn't enough to be good. Be good for something. The essence of Christianity is not passionless purity. And then the last thing was learn to be sweetly firm, i.e., like your mother. And then Piper wrote, that just confirms how much I owe to my father. But that, beware of any society in which you feel compelled to put a bushel over your testimony. If you can't be who you are, then you're in the wrong crowd, right? So be wise. That's about your eyes, keeping your eyes fixed on the right prize, the right pursuit. Keep good company. That's about your feet. Staying on the right path and being surrounded by the right people. And then the third lecture is about your heart. Keeping your heart, keeping your mind on the right purpose. Guard your heart. That's the third drum beating in this third lecture. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. What's the focus in that? I mean, what's all the diligence? What's all the concentration and vigilance for? What's the purpose? Just to avoid evil? Just to be good? No. To find life. Do you notice that? They are life to those who find them. That's what it's about. Finding life. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. He's trying to direct you into life. Right? Real life, true life, the best possible life. Take hold of that which is life indeed. Your dad, I think I could speak for every dad here, wants you to have the very best life possible. That's all. And which life is that? It's the life of knowing God and walking according to His ways and His word and His wisdom, right? So guard your heart from being enticed away from that. For from it flow the springs of life. What does that mean? Well, it means that your inner person, your inner being, your heart, your soul, your mind, whatever you want to call it, it's talking about the control center of man where your thoughts, emotions, everything is governed and directed. That has to be pure and right and clear and clean because that's the source of everything else, right? Everything else flows out of that. And so you have to guard your heart. You have to guard your mind, your thoughts, your desires, what you think about, what you set your affections on. That determines what you become. Sam was telling me about a book he's been reading, We Become What We Worship by Greg Beale. Have you seen that? It's really a book about idolatry. But his thesis is, what people revere, they resemble. What people focus on is what they become, right? What you admire and adore and idolize and love is who you are becoming. He says our worship and our affections right now are aiming us in a trajectory toward what we're becoming. Whatever you focus on now and love and, you know, whatever your heart is fixed on, that's setting a trajectory for who you are and who you will be. And that's, I think, what verse 24 is saying. You have to watch over your heart with all diligence, meaning guard what you revere and worship. Watch what you think about and focus on, because that's what you are becoming. But it's all about life. Finding life. True life. The good life. The best life. That is found by knowing God and walking in His ways and His wisdom. And of course, the personification of that divine wisdom is Christ, right? Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And so ultimately the pursuit of wisdom is the pursuit of Christ. Getting wisdom means getting Christ. Wisdom is to direct us to Him. So it's not just pursue wisdom, acquire wisdom. It's pursue Christ, follow Christ, live for Christ. Guard your heart from anything that would distract you away from pure and simple devotion to Christ. I have come that they might have life. Isn't that what Jesus said? What life is He talking about? Eternal life, abundant life. wisdom leads us to Christ. And Christ gives us life. Isn't that what Paul said to Timothy? From childhood you have known the sacred writings, Old Testament scripture, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ. Scripture gives you wisdom. Wisdom points you to Christ. Christ gives you salvation, which is life, right? Eternal life, life abundant. This is the thing that kids don't get. This is the thing that certainly angry teenagers don't get. Dad just wants you to be happy. That's all. Eternally. He just wants you to have a good life, the very best life. And he knows where that comes from. It comes from God and his wisdom, which points you to Christ and his salvation. The very best life comes from God to those who are in Christ, upon whom he graciously bestows every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And so you have to guard your heart, because the world will throw all kinds of things at you that seem more appealing, more alluring, more important, more fun, more beneficial. But the end thereof is death. Only one way leads to life, and that is the way of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So will you listen to your dad? Hear, O sons and daughters, the instruction of a father. Be wise, keep good company. Guard your heart. Wayne Watson is one of my favorite Christian artists. I don't know why. I know he's a Southern boy raised in Louisiana and Texas, so I'm sure that's part of it. He's also about my age, maybe slightly older. So I don't know. Everything I've ever listened to that he's written, it just resonates with me. A number of years ago, he wrote a song about his dad. The chorus line is, of all the things that I could still become, I could do a whole lot worse than turning into dad. It takes some growing up to admit that, doesn't it? It did for him. His dad died in 1997, and that's when he wrote that song, shortly after that. And then a few years later, just in time for a Father's Day release, he wrote a book by the same title, Turning Into Dad. And in it, he says this: my generation is guilty of a terrible, dishonoring mantra. Maybe it was part of the vocabulary of earlier ages as well, but my peers and I have become too familiar with the phrase, oh no, I'm turning into my father. I hear middle-aged guys say it all the time. Maybe you have to be old enough to have kids of your own to realize how alike you and your dad are. It doesn't even register when you're a hotshot teenager. You're too busy trying desperately to not be like your dad. While you're in college, you're beginning to realize your dad probably has some things right. And when you're a 20-something single guy playing the field and thinking that someday you might get married and settle down, maybe you start taking your dad into your confidence. You might start talking to your dad more like a friend, but you still don't believe for a minute that you would ever start to take on his traits, his sounds, and his thoughts to actually be him. But get married and have kids, and little by little, it happens. You start saying things to your kids that you said you'd never say. Because I'm the dad, that's why. When you're the father, you can call the shots. we do become our dads in many ways. In other ways, we become our moms or our grandfathers, our uncles or distant relatives. I don't know why, but for many of us, it's the reflection of our dads in our lives that tends to intrigue us the most. And it's often our dad's traits we've inherited that trouble us the most. If you were close to your dad, you might take some pride in feeling like you're carrying on some of his admirable traditions. But if your dad was missing in action, alcoholic or abusive, or even just a good, solid citizen, too busy to pay attention, you might be unknowingly living your life with the purpose of righting all the wrongs you suffered at his hand. Scripture tells us to honor our parents. It doesn't vaguely suggest that we honor them as long as they're generous, funny, good to you, or proud of you. It doesn't say honor your parents after they finally hug you or tell you they love you. It just says honor them. And by the way, that's the only command in Scripture that comes with a promise that your days may be long in the land. Honoring your parents is not only pleases God, but it's good for you. Honoring doesn't mean you have to ignore their faults or pretend they're perfect. It might mean, on occasion, keeping your mouth shut if you're ready to unload some dramatic criticism or some sarcastic remark. It might mean simply giving thanks for them, even when you don't feel like it. I'm pretty sure God is able to deal with our anger and our honesty. If all you can think about right now is your dad's flaws, let me tell you this. Who doesn't have a flawed dad? Who of all the dads among us isn't a flawed dad? Welcome to the group. We'll discuss flaws, but God, please help us not wallow around in our sorrow and cry out, woe is me. We'll get over it and we'll move on and we'll live. It takes time and energy, but we can learn and get better from looking at the dads in our lives that have had so much influence and done so much to shape us into the people we are now. In the end, we'll all be better for it. Only your Father in heaven is perfect. And he's the only Father who can be all that you need him to be. But of all the things that you could still become, you could do a whole lot worse than turning in to Dad. Listen to him. Learn from him. A time will come when you will expect the same from your children. Father, you are the only perfect one. We all look to you. We all learn from you. We all lean on you. You alone can be all that we need. And you are. And so we thank you. But we do thank you for our dads and the way that you've used them in our lives. Give us ears to listen to their instruction. Give us eyes to desire and prize wisdom above anything in this world. Give us feet to walk in your ways and stick to the path you have set before us. And above all, Father, give us hearts to seek and follow Christ. We pray this in his name with thanksgiving. Amen.